The Revelation of John, the End of the Age of Mortal Man.
Get prepared for that. Some more new news will be coming out real soon about Open Door, and that's great. But right now, turn to chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 21, we continue our series, The Revelation to John, The End of the Age of Mortal Man. This is the 12th message in this series. If you were not here last week, there was a lot of people traveling. It is online. There's something messed up with our audio quality, but you can listen to it. We got CDs available. And God took it to another level. And that's all I can say about that. I'm telling you, God was flowing. And it was cool. I challenge you to listen to that. It's on the second part of the millennium. We talk about the white throne judgment. And we talk about people being thrown in the lake of fire. It's not a popular message, but it's one in the Word of God, and we went there. So today we're going to take an exegetical approach to chapter 21. That's verse by verse. Revelation chapter 21 happens immediately. Everyone say immediately. Immediately. Say it again. It happens immediately after the millennium, and this begins eternity. How many of you have heard of eternity before? This begins eternity, and not the cologne or perfume you can buy at Macy's stores all over, but the eternity where you live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever in bodies that do not decay, that do not grow old, that do not get sick, do not rust, or do not even get tired. Sign me up. Now, I don't know about bodies that don't rust. Anybody got a little rust in here? Yeah, I do. Wake up like, oh, that must be the rust. You know what I mean? All right. Listen, you can read the entire Bible, all of it, and then come to this specific chapter, and then as one minister aptly puts, eternity is unveiled in this chapter. All throughout the Bible, it talks about eternity. It talks about it. Well, right here in Revelation 21, boom, eternity is unveiled. The curtain is drawn it's drawn open when it comes to eternity, all right? The devil, sin, and death have been banished forever. Final judgment, no second appeal, no second chance. That's what we talked about last week. Final judgment has already been administered by King Jesus. The earth's groanings for newness and redemption that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, verse 20 through 23, those groanings, okay, they have finally been put to rest because a new heaven and a new earth has been created by God, and righteousness will be the rule of the day forever. Yeah, 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 yeah. Or yeah, 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 yeah. Or ooh, 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 whatever exclamation you want to say. All right? Woo! My last two messages on the millennial kingdom, especially the last one, if you were here or you've listened to it already, it had a very serious and ominous theme and tone. We really talked about the second death, and that is a spiritual death. It happens in front of the white throne judgment. Remember that resurrection that happens for those that died without Christ. They stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or the white throne judgment. And books are opened up. And all of their sins and all their deeds and all their times where they rejected Christ over and over and over again, they will stand there and they will hear that played in front of them or recorded and then set out. All their bad motives and thoughts and transgressions. And like I said last week, some people say, why would a loving God send anybody to hell? He doesn't. People do. Because of their own sins. And when they stand before God and before Jesus in front of his white throne, and they hear and the books are open and their deeds, their heads will hang in shame because they know and they will know with certainty that it is their own fault that they are going to be escorted to the lake of fire. And not only that, there's another book open called the Lamb's Book of Life. And when the names that are written in there, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, when they don't hear their name called, they will know with surety, I missed it. I failed. and the unbelievers will be thrown into the lake of fire forever. That was a serious message last week. Heavy. Not easy one. It's not an easy one to preach about. Like I said before, it's a very unpopular message. People don't really want to hear that. But I'm glad there's a lot of you here today. That means nobody left. Okay? Yeah. But guys, today's message is different. Revelation 21 is a complete celebration. Come on, clap your hands. Celebrate new times. Come on, you know. Today it's time to party. Today it's time to get happy because we are talking about heaven. Everyone tell somebody, say, we're talking about heaven today. How many of you guys have heard of DC Talk? Back in 1988 on their very first album, I have it. I was one of the first people to buy it back then. They had a song called Heaven Bound. They're like, heaven, heaven bound. You know, it's back then you did that kind of thing. Go YouTube it. It's good. Heaven Bound. That's where we're headed, gang, okay? Now, listen. I don't know. You can laugh at my stupidity. That's okay, all right? It was really a good song back in 1988, 89, all right? It launched DC Talk. You guys are all going to go home and YouTube that. That's cool. There is a word that I want to throw out to you guys today. It's the title of this message that has gained a lot of traction and usage over the last 15 to 20 years, and that is the word makeover. How many of you ever have heard of that word used before? A makeover, okay? How many of you have used that word before? Perhaps some of you used it this very morning when you woke up and the sun was shining in your bedroom, in the bathroom, you looked in the mirror and went, I just need a makeover. Oh my goodness, I just need a complete makeover, okay? Guys, we hear that word thrown around a lot on TV and in advertisements for cosmetics and for homes and businesses and jobs, physical appearances, and even makeovers in life. And there are and continue to have been many popular hit TV shows that are dedicated specifically to helping people make over their homes and their wardrobes and their clothing, their yards, their landscaping, their marriages, how they raise their children, their cooking and their restaurants and hotels that they own, even shows to help make over their entire bodies and faces. Anyone ever see infomercials on all kinds of exercise equipment and exercise routines and programs? Those are about making over your body. How many have watched a show, anything like that, where it talks about making over something? Almost all of you have, okay? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you guys want a makeover in relation to this world? Anybody? How many of you get tired of this old world sometimes? You wake up and you're like, oh my goodness, the stress or the pressure or the chair, just the things that are just bothering me. We want a makeover in this world. Well, guess what, guys? It's coming. There's a makeover that's going to come, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Why do people want a makeover? Because they're tired of the old. They want something new. They want something fresh, and they want a new start. Guess what? There's going to be a brand new start to this world, and we who believe in Jesus Christ are going to live in it. So let's go to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read the first two verses of chapter 21, and keep your Bible or your Bible apps open because we're going to check out verses all throughout this message, and I highly encourage you to take notes today, okay? Here's what the Apostle John writes. He says, now I saw, and I may get really excited. Whether you guys get excited this morning or not, I'm going to get excited because this chapter blows my mind away, okay? John says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Everyone say New Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God has already been the architect and built a new Jerusalem that he's got ready and waiting. It's going to come down. And we are talking, gang, about a completely new heaven and a complete new earth. The one that we're living in now, heavens that we see and the earth that we're walking on, it's all going to pass away. And God's going to do away with all that stuff, and God's going to create a brand new. Say brand new. Brand new. Say it again. a brand new heaven and earth. I know we can't understand that, but try this morning. Now, is this the only place in Scripture that talks about this great phenomenon? No. Look at the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 65, verse 17, he prophesies what the Lord's saying. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former, that's where we're living right now, okay? The former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Let's go to the New Testament. Look what the Apostle Peter writes in his second letter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That is going to blow away any grand finale of fireworks anywhere on this planet, okay? Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Here we go, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Jesus mentions this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35 through 36. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But at that day and hour, no one knows, not in the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He says, heaven and earth, what we're living in now, what we see now, it's going to pass away, and God's going to create it new. So there's three things we learn from these first two verses. There's going to be a new heaven. How many of you guys enjoy looking up in the stars at night? It's a beautiful summer evening or a fall evening. You've had the fire going. You've roasted marshmallows. The world is nice. Everything's perfect and serene. And you look up and you go, man, that is just gorgeous. It's beautiful. I love the night sky. Anybody like doing that? Pastor Charles on Christian Life, he's talking about how the stars show the gospel message of Jesus Christ at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. Be there. Very interesting. We love to look up and gaze at the heavens, at the stars, the planets, the Milky Way, the galaxy. We're like, oh, it's so beautiful. You know, and when you live out west, there's not a lot of trees. So, I mean, you see the whole sky, especially in Arizona. I mean, you see the whole sky. And I was blessed one time at White Sands National Monument. I got to sit on a blanket on a 25-foot-high sand dune. 500 square foot miles, White Sands National Monument, and watch this huge meteor shower one night. I mean, there's no lights from the big city, so I was like, wow, that is amazing. That is beautiful. Guys, imagine how beautiful it's going to be when God creates a new one, a perfect one. The sun, moon, stars, planets, and galaxies that we now see are going to be destroyed, and God is going to make it even better than it is now. This new heaven will be a place where nothing ever burns out like the stars do now, and everything's going to be alive, and everything, the stars, planets, all of it, is going to reflect God's glory and the whole entire thing. And we are talking huge, gang, even huger or bigger than we know now. It's going to be perfect, it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be magnificent. And guess what? Here's what I like. We who believe in Christ at this time, we're going to have perfected eternal bodies. So guess what that means? We're going to be able to most likely fly all over the universe because gravity will not be an issue anymore. To infinity and beyond, you know? Imagine that. We're talking about it at staff prayer this morning. It gives a whole new meaning to beam me up, Scotty. You'd be like, Jesus, I'm over here in quadrant 55AA. Beam me up, Jesus. And we're gone. You know what I mean? Oh, Greg, you're just being silly. Sci-fi. You've watched too much Star Wars and all Star Trek. Guys, that's what we're talking about. We're going to be in eternal bodies. We're not going to be limited by that kind of stuff. Can you even imagine it? I've said it often in the last couple of messages. Our resurrected bodies are going to be much like Jesus. He would just appear. Yet they physically touched him. He ate with them. He fixed breakfast for them. He would appear and gone. It's going to be good, ain't it? Like, you get a cup of coffee, gone. I'm back. Oh, yeah, it's good stuff. Woo! You know what I mean? Out in quadrant 5C. I don't know. Sheesh, whatever. That might be a little too sci-fi, but that's okay. It sounds too good to be true, but it is true, guys. God included it in his word, and every word of God is true, amen? And he's faithful. The second thing we see that God's going to create is a new earth. Look, this crusty rock that we're living on right now, it's going to be recreated perfectly. Right now, there's all kinds of natural disasters, storms, floods, heat waves, forest fires, famines, droughts, water shortages, too much rain, earthquakes, typhoons, tornadoes, hurricanes, disease, death, thorny plants and weeds, unproductive soil, all of this and more because the earth is defected and cursed by man's sin. But this new earth will be spectacular and glorious and pristine, new and perfect. Everything's going to be in the perfect order. It's going to be very Garden of Eden-like that we read in Genesis. The entire climate, the entire lighting will be affected and changed forever, and it will be perfected. The new earth is probably going to be much like our earth right now, the same characteristics and all, except it's going to be perfect. Did I say it's going to be perfect? It's going to be perfected. Why? Because the devil, sin, and death are out of the picture. You see, that's why bad things happen right now, even to good people, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Paul writes to the Roman Christians. Because of your sin and my sin, that's why bad things happen. Tornadoes, disease, earthquake, bad rain. The Bible says it rains on the just, that's the good people, and the unjust, that's the bad people alike. Why? Because we have all sinned. Well, Greg, I didn't have a choice because Adam sinned first. Listen, you were born and you chose to sin. I'm going to pass the microphone around right now. I want everybody to say one time when you chose to sin. No, just kidding. And we want salacious details. Just kidding. No. That's the truth of the matter, right? But guys, on this new earth, all of that bad junk is gone, and now we have nothing but good because the devil, sin, and death are gone. Gone! Amen? The third new creation that we see in these verses is a wonderful new Jerusalem. Greg, what does that mean? Listen, oh, this will be the city of God. It will be the holy city. This is going to be the capital of the new heaven and the new earth. God's very own, get this, gang, God's very own literal presence will reside in the New Jerusalem. God himself is going to take a throne and reside and dwell in the New Jerusalem. That's where him, God, and Jesus will be enthroned forever and ever. And it is from here where Jesus is going to reign and rule the universe forever and ever. You see, right now, in our solar system, what does our solar system revolve around? The sun. The sun's the center, right? And everything, Mars, Jupiter, Earth, all these kind of things. Everything. Listen, in the new heaven and the new earth, guess what's going to be the epicenter? Guess what's going to be the center? And everything else is going to revolve around the new Jerusalem, God's capital. All the galactic systems that will be created, okay? They're all going to revolve and go around New Jerusalem, and God will be there, and Jesus will be there in the Spirit. And guys, what, guys? We will be able to see them and worship them physically. Yeah. We'll be able to see them. Not a picture, not a HD video screen, not a billboard. No. Just as I'm looking at you guys and you're looking at me, we'll be able to see God the Father and the Spirit. Man, that is a praise the Lord. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And get this, no more sun and no more moon. That's where we get our light from now, right? No more. All the light that we will ever need and that's needed throughout the entire universe will come from God and Jesus and their throne. No more night. Can you imagine that? No more night. I know it's difficult for our infinite and imperfect minds to understand and comprehend, but it's going to happen. And I'm going to be there because of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be there, amen? What we are talking about here is the ultimate fulfillment of biblical prophecy.
and the ultimate fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets and prophecy. Look what the author of Hebrews writes in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. It says, all these people, he's talking about the Old Testament saints and the prophets, died still believing what God had promised them. Remember, a kingdom, okay? They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country that they can call their own. If they had longed for the country that they came from, this is a physical country on earth, they just could have simply gone back. Verse 16, but, everyone say but, they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Even the Old Testament saints, the Old Testament prophets, they saw what God had promised them way down the road in eternity. And although they died looking for that promise. Well, Greg, what do you mean? They're up in heaven right now. What did I talk about last week? They are with Jesus. Yes, their souls are with Jesus, but they haven't been fulfilled yet. It all comes to pass right here because God is going to destroy the heaven that's now, and he's going to create a new one. And then right there, your journey, my journey, their journey, Moses, Noah, Samson, David, all of those Old Testament saints and New Testament disciples and saints, and us as the story continues, the journey, the whole promise will be fulfilled, boom, right here in this new heaven, new earth, the new Jerusalem. That's pretty cool stuff, isn't it? Woo! Man, yes! You can't contain this stuff, man. Have you ever really took time to think about what heaven's going to be like? Have you thought about it? I mean, some people probably, they can't even really imagine it, so they don't even try to figure it out. So, oh, heaven is going to come someday, and I'll be there, okay? But others may have quite a few thoughts about heaven and ideas about heaven, and we get emotional about heaven and kind of misty-eyed about it. Heaven, you know what I mean? We kind of do that kind of stuff here, right, you know? And we've heard about heaven, and artists have tried to describe it and picture it in their various artistic methods. Southern gospel quartets have been singing about heaven for years, okay? But none of that is even close. It doesn't even scratch the surface. John himself tells us what heaven is like by what he personally sees and hears. And so the next 30 verses in Revelation 21 and 22 tell us about heaven. Let's talk about it. Revelation 20, verse 3. John says, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Listen, one thing that man longs for even today is the very presence of God in his heart and life. That's how God created us, to dwell with him, to have a relationship with him. And there's a longing for him in their life. Whether people want to acknowledge it or not, there is a longing for God's presence in their life. And that's why they will go out and try to find satisfaction in anything and everything but God. That is the truth. That's why you see all kind of messed up people. They're trying to fill that longing that can only be filled by God, okay? This verse shows that there will be immediate and ongoing true fellowship with God. We will have the literal physical presence of God with us for eternity, and that will bring us fullness and completeness. We will always, always be able to experience God literally. We will be able to come into his presence and talk with him and laugh with him and praise him and worship him and see him face to face like I mentioned before. Up to this point, biblically, besides a few characters in the Bible who were so privileged that they were able to see a partial vision of God, no one was allowed to see God because he was too holy, too pure, too righteous. We were sinful beings, and to be in that presence, we would probably die immediately, okay? So you weren't allowed to see God, but now everyone will be able to see God and have wonderful fellowship with him. We'll be able to come into his throne and leave. Come in and leave anytime we want to. How many of you have read about the tabernacle that the Israelites would constantly set up in the Old Testament as they traveled, okay? We read a lot about the tabernacle in the book of Exodus. As they were nomads and traveling through the desert, they would set up the tabernacle and worship God there and then take it down when they would move. The tabernacle contained the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat by which the people's sins were atoned for by the sprinkling of the blood of a sacrificed, pure, perfect lamb, okay? It was slain. They'd find the unblemished lamb. They would slay it. The high priest would come in once a year, sprinkle the blood of that lamb on the mercy seat, on the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, and then the people's sins would be atoned for a year. Well, God's throne, okay, will be in his tabernacle in the New Jerusalem, and the slain lamb, our mercy seat, will be there too. Forever. For all eternity. And I've mentioned that the tabernacle, God has it set up exactly the same way as it was on earth. It's set up the same way pretty much in heaven. And God's going to be there. His throne. Jesus, our mercy seat, because he paid the ultimate price. He was the perfect slain lamb, and he sprinkles his blood on our sins. He's going to be there. The tabernacle was the place of worship to God. It was the place where the presence of God dwelt among the people. It was the place where God met man in the Old Testament. The high priest would come in and meet God there. Moses was privileged to go beyond the veil in the Holy of Holies and meet God face to face. And he would represent all the people. It's going to be the same in heaven. The tabernacle in the New Jerusalem, that's where God's presence is going to dwell. And man could meet God. It would be the very epicenter of worship to God. And the Israelites received comfort and strength knowing the fact that God's literal presence was with them. And guys, we're going to have comfort. We're going to have strength knowing that God will be with us forever and ever. Like a big dad, our father. We're going to take comfort in knowing he's right there. Amen? All right. Heaven continues. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God, man, it's... If that wasn't good enough, look at this verse. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And here's good news, guys. Just think, gang, of a place where we will look perfect. Perfect bodies. To start off with, all right? Yeah, I mean, that should. Some of you should get really excited about that. No offense. I get excited. Perfect bodies. We will be living in utter utopia and paradise, to use those phrases and words. All bad experiences gone. No more. Say no more. Say it again. No more murders, killings, miscarriages, war, aging, sorrow, brokenness, disappointment, regret, failure, guilt, weakness, inadequacy, homelessness, hunger, thirst, starvation, arguing, fighting, drugs, evil, immorality, bitterness, burdens, heavy loads, heartache, pain, accidents, disease, stress, pressure, abuse, afflictions, agony. I could keep going on and on and on, but no more to those types of things. No more. No more sickness. No more bad days. No more gray hair. No more beauty. You know what I mean? No more. The things that get you down, the things that try you, the things that trip you up, the things that make life hard. No more. Amen. Because of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Doesn't that bring a smile to your face? Oh, Greg, man, come on, whatever. No more, amen. No more tears. We've all cried them in heartbreak, in heartache, in pain, in sorrow. No more tears. No more reason for tears. I know some of you might be saying, well, Greg, well, what about close friends and family members who died without making Jesus their Lord and Savior? Won't we be sad and cry because they're not with us? No, we won't be. We won't be sad. And we won't cry because this verse says that the former things have passed away. Remember the prophecy we read from Isaiah earlier, Isaiah 65, 17? Behold, I create a new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. I know that sounds harsh, but God does away with all that. And there's no more tears anymore. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more staying up all night long crying tears of anguish. We've been there. It's not easy. It's hard. And then many times we ask, God, why? See my tears? No more of that. It's going to be good, perfect, and great. Amen. And we're not even going to have any memory of bad stuff. We're not going to have any memory of a heartache and things that we've lost because we have God. Amen? And then check this out. Man, it goes right along with your whole life right now might be filled with pain and sorrow and grief and tragedy right now. Everything may seem hard for you all the time and things never seem to get better. There are believers, and I don't understand, but I've seen it, and I've counseled people. It just seems like even as believers, they just can't seem to get a break from the hardness of life. And God has a plan for them. God has a purpose for everyone, but many times we just don't understand, and we do ask God, why is this happening? Why don't they get a break? Why doesn't that season end for them? Guys, we have to remember that while on this temporary earth, we don't see the entire picture. Paul, the apostle, talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. He says, now we see things imperfectly, as in a cloudy mirror. And skip some of that. And he goes, all that we know is partial and incomplete. It's like when we're looking in a mirror, we don't see the whole picture. It's impartial. It's incomplete. And that's why we say, we don't understand, God. Why am I going through this? Why am I experiencing this? Why must this happen to me? When is this season going to end? We can't know everything now because our minds are finite. But we continue to have faith in God and we hold on to Him no matter what, no matter how hard it gets, how difficult it may seem, no matter how long the season in life may last. And I am confident of this because of God's true word right here in Revelation 21 verse 4. On this day, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more tragedy, no more bad days, moments, weeks, seconds, years, no more bad seasons, and no more questions either, because it will all come together and it will all make sense. Look at that verse again, verse 12, and let's read the whole thing. Paul says, now we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I now know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. It will make sense. You will see it. You will know in fullness. So don't give up. It's going to get better. It's going to get good. It's going to get perfect. So hear me, Lord, saint of God. Trust God and look to Him. And don't ever give up, child of God. Don't ever give up, child of God. Because even in death, there is life for the believer in Christ. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Even death cannot separate us from the love of God. This was a theme to the New Testament writers. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Peter the apostle writes, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world. Whew. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, that's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now, they're soon going to be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. That trial that we're going through, it's going to come to an end one day. That heartache that you suffer, it's going to come to an end one day. And everything good because of God is going to last forever.
Elevator music for that, you know?
Again, we keep going. We keep pressing. We keep living for God. We keep going on and on, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us and renew us. Luke 18, verse 29 through 30. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "Yes, and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or wife or brother or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will be paid many times over in this life and will have eternal life." Where? In the world to come. The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. Here's more good news about heaven. Like my dad kept saying all my life, you keep on keeping on. And you keep on keeping on. Sounds like a country song, doesn't it? Wow. Here's some more good news about heaven. Oh my goodness. How many of you died a little bit today? Everyone should raise your hand. You died a little bit, okay? And not like the song said, die just to be in your arms. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're in love. No, little physical die. If you're alive yesterday and you woke up today, part of you died. Cells, muscle mass, hair follicles, hello. Okay? You are dying as you get older. Do you know that your brain shrinks every day that you live? How many knew that? It does. Every day that you live, you lose brain matter. That explains a lot about some of you, all right? I'm going to remember that and counsel you from now on. People are dying every day. I mean, people are literally dying to get underground. You know what I mean? Get it? You're dying to get underground? All right. Listen, according to some death rate stats from the year 2011, 55.3 million people die each year. 151,600 people die each day. 6,316 die every hour, 105 people die each minute, and every second all over the world, two people die. Every second, okay? We hear stats like that, and right now, guys, death brings sadness because death brings separation. I've lost people. We've all lost people that are dear to us, and death is one of those things that's hard, and grieving is hard, and it's very, very difficult, and people even fear death. Here's good news. Death will be no more. Death will be no more. No more dying. No more losing a close friend or a close family member. There will be no need for an undertaker or funeral services, and there will be no cemeteries in the new heaven and the new earth. We will all, those that trust in Jesus, will experience life in all of life's fullness forever with eternity. And there'll be no death. And that's amazing to me. And that's wonderful. Praise God. Let's continue. Revelation 21, verses 5 through 7. John says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Not a storyteller, not a story, not a science fiction movie, not the 19th episode of Star Trek. No, it's the word of God. They're true and faithful. "And he said to me, 'It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who ever comes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Here's the makeover, gang. Here's the makeover that we've all been waiting for. God will make all things new. We get a complete restart, a redo. I do it over. We can start everything over again in perfection. Pastor J. Vernon McGee wrote, we can start over and there will never be an end to our growth. There is constant growth and development. Just think of the prospect of that for the future. You're not just going to be floating around doing nothing. You're going to be doing things and you're going to keep growing and keep growing in perfection. Jesus says in this verse, he is the Alpha and the Omega. This is the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. And they indicate when he says this, that he is Messiah, that he is sovereign Lord. He is the beginning and the ending of everything. He's the Lord of everything. Everything points to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The beginning's about Jesus. The middle's about Jesus. And the end is going to be about Jesus. Everything has their beginning in Jesus, and he is the end of everything. He is the consummation of everything that we know, and that's all everything. All finality is in Jesus Christ. All final meaning is going to be in Jesus Christ. What these verses show is the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. We need nothing more than Jesus Christ, and that salvation and that our hope can only be found through Jesus and in Jesus, because he was the perfect lamb slain for us. He went to the grave and he rose again. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. And so the all-sufficiency means he's the only way we get there. He's the only way we get fellowship with the Father, in Jesus Christ alone. Verse 7 tells us who's going to inhabit heaven and be in the New Jerusalem. And it's going to be the overcomers of this world through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And God calls them sons and daughters because they trusted in Christ and were faithful to Jesus Christ even to the end. Look what John writes in John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Romans chapter 8, 17, Paul proclaims that we are joint heirs with Christ. These will be in the New Jerusalem. But quickly before I close, the very next verse, verse 8, tells us who will not be in and who will not inherit the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse is pretty self-explanatory. No junk gets in heaven. Nothing that's apart from God gets in heaven. No garbage. I like that, right? The remaining verses of chapter 21 and going through the first six verses of chapter 22 really explain in great, wonderful, beautiful detail about heaven and the New Jerusalem. And I encourage you guys to go home and read those today and read them in amazement, because it's waiting for you if you trust in Christ. Guys, God's word gives us such hope this morning with this chapter. But you might be sitting here saying, sure, Greg, sounds nice, sounds beautiful. Ho, 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 all right, yay, celebration. Heavenly city, but I'm being poured on in life right now. And it's hard for me to get excited about what you're saying about. In fact, Greg, it's hard for me to get excited about waking up the very next morning. Remember, gang, in my very first message, I talked about why John wrote this. The Christians were dying by the thousands, persecuted and suffering and being killed, fathers being drugged out and killed, children, wives, mothers, their spiritual leaders were all dying. Their giants of the faith were being killed. And so John writes this for hope and encouragement to say there will be a better day. And look, Revelation 22, the first two verses. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. This shows that there's going to be eternal refreshment and life that flows from the throne of God and the Lamb, carried by the Holy Spirit. And it's going to quench our thirst and satisfy our thirst and fulfill us and complete us. But guess what? You don't have to wait to the New Jerusalem, you know, after the rapture, after the tribulation, after the millennium, and then God creates a new heaven and earth to begin experiencing this living water. Jesus is offering it right now, and he brings refreshment and life to anyone who comes to him, and it will quench your thirst, it will satisfy your hunger, and it will fulfill you and complete you. John 4, verse 14 says, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life, because he indwells us and fills us with the Holy Spirit. Come on up, Chris, and start playing. My last thing is, you may also be saying, sure, Greg, sounds nice and great, and I'm actually excited and looking forward to it, but right now, it's just not my focus. There's a lot of life to live, and I'm just so doggone busy that I just don't have time to think of eternity. There's a danger, gang, of not being eternally focused. The writers of the New Testament wrote about keeping an eternal perspective no matter what is going on down here. Don't believe me, just read the New Testament. Sure, gang, there's a lot of life to live, and praise God that every day he gives us life, amen? Because not everyone woke up today. It's a lot of life to live, so live it. Live it every day. Every day God blesses you with life. Live it to the best of your ability in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But don't get so busy down here that you lose your eternal perspective, where you lose your focus on what God's preparing, on what's coming for us, on where we are headed. Remember that passage in Hebrews I read about the Old Testament saints? Verse 16 of Hebrews 11. They were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. We've got to be doing that too. Know that you live life, but in the back of your mind's eye, you are going heavenward and you are striving towards eternity. And don't get so down here, busy and into this world, to where when Jesus calls, you can't just leave it all behind. That's what happened in Genesis 19 with Lot's wife. God and Jesus actually showed up there and called his family out of those horrible cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And when they were leaving, Lot's wife couldn't leave behind. She turned around and was punished forever for it, turned into a pillar of salt. Be ready to say, when you call Jesus, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm going to pray in a minute. Greg, why all this talk of heaven this morning? Because it gives us a target to shoot for, a place to long for. So we will know what wonderful things await those that trust in Christ, and we will not get too comfortable in this earth. It shows the destination of God's children for those that hope in Jesus and hold on to the end. And it shows us with surety that this life is not all that there is. There's more in Christ. It gives us a hope for tomorrow. Did you hear that? A hope for tomorrow. Some of you need hope. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1 through 3, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Why not let your hearts be troubled? Because in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. That's what we're talking about this morning. Sometimes I know we pray and I feel like our prayers don't get through the ceiling, but on that day, man, we will be right there with Jesus. And the only way to gain access is through Jesus Christ. Our only ticket of access in the new Jerusalem and the new heaven and earth is that our hearts are covered and stained with the precious blood of Jesus Christ that has been applied to us. Get prepared for heaven. It's coming. Make Jesus your Lord and Savior today. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I pray for everyone that's here this morning. There's some in here that need hope. There's some in here that need encouragement, God. And I know as John was penning this letter, as he was exiled to an island because he preached the message of the cross in Jesus Christ. As he was penning this wonderful vision, thousands were being martyred and killed for Christ. And I know he probably had to have them in the back of his mind, and possibly he was even praying, God, give them hope. Give them encouragement. There's a better day coming. And God, I pray for anyone in here this morning that needs hope and encouragement and strength and peace, that you, Jesus Christ, would literally just breathe upon them today and refresh us in the Holy Spirit. And if there's one here or two or few, God, that have been playing games with you and playing church and looking good on the outside or just trying to barely make it, God, let them, as the apostle writes, let them make sure that their calling is sure. Let their heart be turned to you. Let them repent and confess that you're the Lord Jesus. That God, you raised him from the dead. And let them let you wash their sins away and let them live in a relationship with you and let them believe on you and a belief that leads to a change in their life. So live as righteous beings, not unrighteous. Oh God, we need you. We need you, Lord. Let us never forget what you have prepared for your children, I pray. And let us be prepared in Jesus' name. Amen.